You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's Word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to unpack with you what I shared last week with what God has placed in my heart for our church. This morning, I'm going to talk about connect with God. Next week, I'm going to talk about finding your purpose. And the week after that, let's make a difference. So when you're around the building and you see those wonderful signs that the lovely Zanette have created, and someone asks you, what's this whole connect with God? What's this find your purpose and make a difference? It's a great conversational starter. And you can tell them our mission and what we're trying to achieve. So this morning is all about connect with God. Are you ready for the Word of God? You're all good to go?
Yeah
awesome. You know, I grew up in a very conservative, traditional church where the pastors every Sunday would put on a suit, a shirt, and a tie. That was the church that I was brought in. There was nothing wrong with that. It was just the way the church was. I remember just recently, probably a few years ago, I was preaching back at my home church, and I doing the most respectable thing was to put on a suit and tie, and I got out of my room, and my boys saw me. And the boys were like, "Dad, you're not preaching at Sun Life this morning. Are you doing a wedding or something, right?" And they've never seen me on a Sunday morning in a suit and tie. And that was the church that I was part of. And I loved that church a lot. I still have a huge part for that church in my heart, because that was the church where we spent a lot of time studying the Word of God. It was a Bible-saturated church. Every time the pastor would stand before the people, the Bible would be open and he would expound and preach the Word of God. In fact, when we had our small group ministry, 95% of the time was Bible. Great. We would have what you call Sunday school. For those who know, Sunday school is like a program before church service. So if church service was 10 o'clock, Sunday school would have been 9 o'clock, and Sunday school an hour before church service would have been purely Bible study. And I grew up in a church where it was so rich in the Bible that I love every time my leaders or my pastor would stand and present the gospel. So I would give that church a high distinction, an HD for teaching the Bible. Now, everything else, whether it was worship, media, small group ministry, just community engagement, being relevant, I would give that church probably a C for a credit. And I must admit, I found it really, really hard to invite my friends to come to church. In a way, I just felt that there would be too much explaining. And this is why the pastor wore that, and this is why we do this. And it was one of those churches where I felt really uncomfortable to invite my friends. Anyhow, when I was 16 years old, I was doing some shopping. As you do as a teenager, I was shopping for clothes, right? Just trying to get some nice clothes, you know, trying to hopefully look good to win the heart of a beautiful lady, just like the peacock attraction where you fan the beautiful, colorful tail in the hope to win the heart of the female peacock, right? So here I am at the age of 16 doing some clothes shopping as you do, and this random person comes by and starts to prophesize over me. Now, you need to understand that back in those days, no Facebook, so this guy wasn't stalking me. He wasn't stalking me from afar and to kind of figure out where I was. Just totally random fella came over and started to prophesize over me, and he said things like this. And I could remember, he says, "You know what, buddy, there's a call in your life." And I'm like, "All right, here we go. You're going to lead a church one day?" "Well, yeah, wow. And you've got to come to my church service this weekend." And I'm like, "What is going on here?" Now, obviously, I'm like, "No way. I'm not going to go to your church service. I'm going to get four of my friends to come with me," right? So five of us rock up. I thought five was a safe number, because five, you feel kind of protected with five, right? We walk into a church service. I kid you not. And I saw something I've never seen before. People that were actually worshiping a God that they did not see. Their tears of joy. They lifted their hands in surrender. People were praying out loud. People even clapped, because I was brought up in a church where you don't clap. Like if you want to surrender to God, you can lift up your hand, but it just cannot pass the waistline. So you would stop right there. But you get to this point here, that's dangerous territory, right? And I'm at church where they had their hands up in surrender to God. They were clapping during the preaching. Everyone, they were listening with their ears and their eyes. In fact, I was already a Christian. I could have easily accepted Jesus Christ a second time. It was an amazing message, and I've never witnessed that before. And that got me thinking, my relationship with Jesus, was it really genuine? Like what I saw in that church as a 16-year-old boy, it was so attractive, it was so real, and it got me thinking about where I was. In my walk with the Lord, did I really know this God? Did I really have this relationship with God, or was it really just a connection because it was something that I've learned on Sunday morning at Sunday school in my small group, and it was just the intellectual knowledge of God, but I never had this personal revelation that God loves me? And that got me thinking. And isn't it true that you can have intellectual knowledge of someone, or you can have personal knowledge of that person? Is that right? Like we all know Scott Morrison is the Prime Minister of our country. We all know that. We know that he's a Christian. If you read the papers, he's a Christian. He has a wonderful family. He goes to a Pentecostal church. Just recently, he went on a holiday to Hawaii. Right? We all know that, right? Right? We can read the paper and we all know that, right? But do you know him personally? Like, is he your mate that you can call over and say, "Hey, Scotty, come over for a barbecue. Have a beer with me." Do you know him personally? And it got me thinking. And there's a verse in the Bible that when I read this verse, it just reminds me and it challenges me to ask the question, do I really have a wonderful relationship with God? Matthew 7, Jesus once says this, 21 to 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And that's pretty scary stuff. And that got me thinking that one night when I was at that church, I started thinking, do I really have this connection with God? Was it something just in my head, or was it really in my heart? And I want to tell you, I have some good news to you, is that God loves you and God wants to connect with you. Everyone here in this room, God wants a relationship with you and God wants to connect with you. And this morning is all about that. And I'm going to break my sermon into two parts. Why should I even connect with God? So if you're a non-Christian and you're trying to explore the Christian faith, I want to tell you why you should connect with God. If you are a Christian, I want to tell you why you should keep pursuing that connection with God. And then secondly, how can you connect with God? What are some of the things that we can do this year as individuals to draw closer to God, to have the connection with Him, to build that relationship with God? Amen? So I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to work. God, would you help me now as I bring your word to your people, and I pray that they would hear you through me and that we would leave this place changed, on fire to be in relationship with you, to connect with you. Would you give me your grace right now to do your work? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Why should we connect with God? Let me give you two reasons why. Number one, God made us. Number two, God loves us. Let's think about that. In Genesis 1, 26, the Word of God says this. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our own image,'" in our image, "'in our likeness.'" If you are a Christian, if you've been around church for some time now, you would know that God operates in community. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if the Bible is very clear that every single one of us here, whether you are a Christian or not, every single one of us here, we're all made in the image of God. And if God exists in community, we are also made for community. There's this deep desire for us all to be in relationship to be connecting with people around us. That's why you have all these popular apps on your phone. eHarmony, Match, Tinder. I just found out of Bumble just recently. I didn't search it up. Someone told me about it and I had to search it up, right? That's right. We love watching shows like Married at First Sight. Tran loves that. The Bachelor. Joe loves that. Perfect Match. Remember that in the 90s? Perfect Match. Something about us as human beings, we love seeing people fall into relationship. We get excited. You think of a child being born into this world. If you have young children and your children is at the age where they have to go to daycare, parents, can you relate to this? You drop off your child, whether it's daycare or Sunday kids' church. As soon as you walk away, what happens? Anxiety kicks in and the child what runs towards you because the child doesn't want to leave you because there's that connection because the child wants you. At a young age, we want to be with people that we know and we love. There's this community within us. I used to teach in high school. When the year 7s or 8s would go into high school, one of the things that all schools would do is put them on an orientation camp in the hope that these kids would find some deep and meaningful relationship. You put them on a camp, you let them loose for a week, and you hope that at the end of the week, they would build some healthy relationship. That's who we are. That's the way God has created us. And I get the fact that sometimes in life, we don't want to be in relationship. I read somewhere that we are living in an era today where there are more people who just do not want to know other people. We just don't want to associate with people. And I wonder whether it's got to do with hurts in the past, family issues, not trusting people, the online world that we live in where we just go, well, we don't need people. We can just find that connection via the computer or the busyness of life. But I can say with confidence that deep down, every one of us, we long to be connected. That's the way God has created us. He has made us. Whether you're listening to me right now, you're going, well, Ben, you don't get my situation. I don't want anyone in my world. I just want to be a hermit. I want to live by myself. I don't want to relate to anyone. I can say to you, because you're created in the image of God, deep down, there is this longing to relate to people. And only God can fill that emptiness that we're waiting for. God wants to connect with us because that's how God has created us. God wants to be in relationship with us. There's a wonderful Greek word called ginosko. It's on the screen here, ginosko. Simply means to know. And you see that used a lot in the Bible, especially with Jesus. And it's to know not at a personal or a physical or an intellectual, but at a deep and meaningful spiritual level. God wants to know you, and we need to know God and connect to God at that deep level. One of the famous passages of the Bible in John 10, we see this word ginosko throughout that whole chapter. It's the chapter where Jesus talks about, you know, I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep, they know me, and I know them. I'll give you some verses. John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd, I ginosko, I know them at a deep and meaningful level. I know my sheep and they ginosko, they know me. A few verses later, just as the Father knows me, there's a word, I know the Father. We're not talking about some kind of intellectual, I read the Bible and I know God. No, there's this deep connection with God. A few verses down in verses 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. Every one of us, listen carefully, we are created to know God, to be in connection with God at a very deep level. Just like a husband and a wife, the Bible says that when you are married, you're no longer two, but you are now one. It's a picture of this wonderful unity where you ginosko. You know each other, not just physically, not just sexually, but spiritually, that you understand each other. So for anyone who's single, gnosko is a great word for you to know. You can throw that word every now and then. You see someone you kind of like, hey, I want to gnosko you forever, right? Use that. And they'll go, what's gnosko? Deep level, spiritual connection, right? God wants us to know that. Why? Because God has created us with this spiritual emptiness to be in connection with God. Every single one of us. And we have to ask ourselves the question, do we just know God here? Or do we have this wonderful knowledge of God down here? So I would leave from that church gathering and I started questioning myself, do I really know God? Because all the people in that church service, it seems like they had this wonderful connection with God. The second reason why we should have a connection with God is because God loves us. God loves us. I mean, isn't it true that we can only build deep connection with someone if we know that they genuinely love us? Think about that. If love is the foundation in which the relationship is built on, and we know that that person always have the best interest for us, they genuinely love us, then we can open up to them. We can trust them. Right? We can hear them out. We can let them speak into our situation. And if they have something to say, we want to hear what they have to say. Why? Because they love us. You know, one of the joys that I have in being a father is that when I come home from work, and all the dads, you can relate to me. You come home from work, it's a long day. You open the door and the kids hear you. And my kids, all my three kids, would literally drop everything and they would run to the front door to hug me. In fact, they will fight to hug me. And I'm not exaggerating. And I'm not saying that because I'm a good father or I'm a perfect father. I've done a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But the one thing that my children all know is that I love them so much. I genuinely love them so much. And because of that love, they always want to draw close to me. They want to have that relationship with me. They want to connect with me. I want to say this to parents. If you're having problems with your children, and you feel that your child or your children are not connecting with you and there's no relationship with you and them, you got to ask yourself the question, do they know that you love them? Do they genuinely know that you care about them? Are you telling them every day that you love them? Are you showing to them that you love them? Because I can tell you right now, when you love them and they know that you love them, they just want to draw closer to you. They want to come to you. They want to build their connectionship with you. And that's the same with God. God loves us so much. God wants the best for us. And if we know that, surely we want to draw closer to Him. Surely we want to explore this relationship that God is offering us. The Bible says this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one, not two, not three. He only has one Son. He gave His one and only Son, His begotten Son, that you would believe in Him, you shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world, He gave up His one Son. I don't know about you, but would you give up your child for someone? I don't think so. Even if that person is so nice, so kind, so good, would you give up your child for that person? I don't think so. What does Romans 5:8 says this? That when God gave up His Son, we weren't good, we were evil. The Bible says right here, God demonstrated His own love, God's love for us, while we were good. No, while we were sinners. He gave up Christ to die for us. That's a great love. That's a love that God has for every one of us. And I want you to know that if you do not know God yet, I want you to know that there's a God who loves you so much. And if you know that God loves you so much, He has the best interest for you. He's got this wonderful purpose for you. Surely you want to draw closer to Him. Surely you want to know Him. Surely you want to connect with Him and build that relationship with Him. That's the reason why we ought to connect with God. My oldest son right now, he's in year 6, and the talk in his school right now is, he's gone to uni already, is where would he go next year? We hear that all the time. Parents are asking other parents, where's your son going? Is he going to this school? Is he going to that school? Private school? Public school? Can he get into Perth Mod? Etc., etc. And Tran and I, we've been talking about this. We're discussing about where he will go next year. Can we afford this particular school? Can he go to that school? Should he sit for this test? And we discuss this because we love Ollie. We want the best for him. We want him to do well in life. We want him to make the most of this opportunity that God has given to him to live in this great city of ours. Why? Because we love him. Why? Because we're his parents. And because we love him, we want the best for him. We want him to do well in life. We want him to excel. You know, my prayers for my boys always is I pray a prayer of faith that they'll grow up and be good citizens in this world, to be great Christian leaders, to draw people to God. That's my prayer for my boys, because I want my boys to do well in life. I'm not worried about they become this particular person or this professional. I just want them to do well in life. I want them to make the most of this one life that God has given to them. Why? Because I love them. I care for them. And that's the same with God. God loves you so much that God wants you to do well in life. God has a purpose for you. He wants you to excel. And this is no positive preaching. This is just the reality that any loving father wants their child to have the best life he or she can have. And if we know that God loves us, surely we want to explore that relationship with God. Surely we want to draw closer to God and build that connection with God. Amen? That's the two reasons why we should connect with God. One, we're made in his image. He made us. There's something inside of us that longs to connect with God, and only God can fill that emptiness. And two, he loves us. He loves us so much that he wants the best for us, and he wants us to draw closer to him. So how do we connect with God? What should we do? Well, I think about two person loving one another. On Friday, we had what? Who can tell me? Valentine's Day. Woo! All right? And on Friday, the couples, they went out and they watched a movie. They may have dinner. They might stroll along the beach. All right? The reality is this. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but the most important thing is that you're spending time together and you are talking with one another. That's what it's all about. And married couples, for those who are married, correct me if I'm wrong. If you want to grow in your relationship with your spouse, if you want to see your marriage grow from strength to strength, be more meaningful, it's not going to happen unless there's communication. Simple as that. I mean, we can spend time together, and I've seen this before. We can spend time together, but if we ain't communicating, nothing's happening. We can go on a date, we can go on a dinner date, but if we're picking up our smartphone and all we're doing whilst we're on date is checking out the latest with the coronavirus, is it in this restaurant? Just checking. You know what I mean? I know some of you guys are doing that, right? Or you're just checking on social media, what's the latest? If we ain't talking, if we ain't communicating, the relationship ain't happening. That's the reality. It's not rocket science, right? I was in Phuket a month ago, and I don't know if you're on social media. I just did I think it's called an Insta story. Is that right? And I was just videoing people at this wonderful bar, and in my little caption, half a dozen people were on their phone, just checking their phone. And they're meant to be having a meal together. They're meant to be talking to one another. If we're doing that and there's no communication, we're not going to build a relationship. Couples. Now, I must admit, I've fallen this trap as well. If you go to bed, let's get practical here, and you and your wife or you and your husband, you are just sitting there on your phone. I know we don't do that, hey, but just in case we do that, I'm going to talk about it, right? Right? And all we do is we're just checking on Facebook and we're just reading, and we find ourselves for the next 90 minutes, we haven't spoken to that person yet, we haven't even prayed to that person yet, your relationship ain't growing. Simple as that. But that's not you, right? You don't do that. You're good Christians. You don't do that. And I think that's the same with God. We need to hear from God, and God needs to hear from us. If there's that communication, that's how you're going to grow in that connection, that relationship with God. Two things we need to do. The Word of God, that's the Bible, and words with God, that's prayer. That's the two things that you have to do if you want to grow in that wonderful relationship with God this year. If you want to grow in the connection with God, let's talk about the Bible. I mean, this Bible here, I don't know, but like, I don't know whether you have a Bible or not, Sunlifers. I don't know whether you open this Bible during the week. I don't know if you find time to read this Bible. It's a wonderful book. It's the only book that you have some 40 writers who are very, very different. You have servants, you have shepherds, you have kings, you have prophets, fishermen, historians, doctors, 40 writers over a span of probably, I don't know, 1500 to 1600 years, three different languages, but one story, one divine author, God Himself. And God has given this wonderful book for us to read, to study, to meditate. But it's more than that. It's so that God would speak to us. If you want to hear from God, you've got to be in the Word of God. If you ain't hearing from God, if you can't remember the last time you heard from God, you got to ask yourself the question, when was the last time you read the Word of God? That's why I always ask people. People say to me, Pastor, you know, I'm so spiritually dry. Things are not going well. I said, what's the matter? I haven't heard from God. God ain't speaking to me. I can't hear His voice. I mean, all the other people at church, it seems like they have this wonderful connection with God. They're hearing from God, but I can't hear from God. And I usually ask them this one question. Have you been reading the Bible? And the reply is usually no. And we need to read the Bible. You know, we have a small community group that meets at my house. We just started during the week. And our very first session, we started studying the Bible together. It was so wonderful. We only spent around 30 minutes in that 90-minute block. 30 minutes is really Bible. And it was so funny because I started laughing. As we were studying the Bible together, a few of the people in the group just kind of had this look. And I said, what's going on? And this is just during the week. And they said to me, oh, God is speaking to me. God is making it so clear in His Word that I need to do this, and this is why I'm going through this. And I started laughing, and I think they were offended. I started laughing, and I said to them, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. I ain't shocked, because when you read the Bible, God's going to speak to you. It's not a surprise. It's not like, oh, really, God speaks to you. No. I know God speaks to us, and it's through His Word. And if you want to grow in your wonderful relationship, that connection with God, you've got to ask the question, am I hearing from God? Because if you ain't, there's something wrong. For me personally, when I read my Bible, I've got to make sure this is me. And you might want to try this year. I grab a hard copy. I don't like to read a Bible with my phone. The reason why is because there's so much temptation on the phone. I can just swipe here and go to this next page, or there's all these notifications. I make sure this phone here or anything electronic is kept away, turned off, silent, and I go away. Because I tell you right now, I am so weak, I am so easily tempted. If I was to read my Bible and one of my electronic devices are on the table near me, I'm going to check things out. So I walk away. I grab my pen, because I like to write in my Bible. I grab a piece of paper, a napkin, and I just begin to write the things that God would speak to me through His Word. Because I know one thing for sure. You need to listen carefully. I know one thing for sure, that when you decide to want to hear from God through the Bible, there's a spiritual battle happening right there. I know for sure. As soon as you make the decision, God, this morning, I want to read the Word. I want to hear from You. I want You to tell me what I ought to do. How I should love, how I should reach people. As you get into the Word, I tell you right now, there and then, there's a spiritual battle happening right there. Because the evil one, he does not want you to be reading the Word of God. He doesn't want you to hear from God. He doesn't want you to pick up the Word of God. So there's a battle. And if you are weak, like me, and you have things like your mobile devices on, you have a lot of people around you, there's a very good chance that you're not going to win that battle. Because you reckon he's excited when you read the Word of God? he's not. Your spirit might say, I want to read, I want to hear from God, but the flesh is saying, don't do it. You've got other things to do. You've got to check your emails. You've got to see whether your friends are doing all right on social media. You want to see how many people are infected with corona. I don't know. Right? There's a battle that we need to be mindful of. If you are a new Christian at Sun Life Church, I'm going to contradict myself right here. We have an app. But listen carefully. And there is daily devotion. There's a daily devotion on the app. All right? So, you're going to read it. But if you're tempted, then take a photo of it and then put it away from a distance and then read it. So you can't touch your devices, right? But listen carefully, jokes aside, you've got to make sure you understand that the evil one is not happy when you're in the Word of God. If you are struggling to read the Word of God, you've got to make sure that this year is a year when you read the Word of God. Here's another thing you need to do, is you need to come on Sunday. Here's the reason why. When you come on Sunday, and if the preacher is faithfully preaching the Word of God, then that's another way in which you hear God. Bible, preacher, you. Alright? So you are in the Word of God every day, but Sunday comes around, and the preacher's preaching the Word of God, you're hearing God through the preacher. You've got to be here every Sunday. You know, if you're serving, listen carefully. If you are serving, and the 1 week you are not serving, and you feel that, oh, I'm entitled to have that week off and not go to church, can I just ask you to think again? You need to go so that you hear God speak to you via the preachers as they expound the Word of God. You know, I read somewhere that the average Christian today in Australia here would go to church one Sunday out of four. That is so sad. If you go to church two Sundays out of four, then you're a super Christian. If you go to church three Sundays out of four, you should not be here and be in heaven because you're like so sanctified. So can I say to you, jokes aside, that you've got to be here. Be here to hear the Word of God. Be here to let God minister to you, let people pray for you, worship God. Do not neglect gathering. You know, one of the things we started this year is a 9 o'clock prayer. You want to come here and really serve the church in praying for half an hour, from 9 to 9:30. Pray. Pray that God will do something wonderful, that God will draw people to Him every time we gather on a Sunday. But don't miss Sunday. So we need to hear from God. But then, secondly, God needs to hear from us. And that's prayer. Well, what's the point, you know, in my relationship with my wife, and my wife is always talking, and I'm hearing Tran, you know, and I did this during the week, and I did that, and et cetera, et cetera, and I'm not talking back. The relationship ain't gonna grow. Is that right? And we talk back simply through prayer. And one of the reasons why a lot of Christians struggle, listen carefully, with praying, is that we make prayer out to be something so complex. We do. We make prayer to be so super spiritual that we've got to pray at a certain volume, with a certain speed, with these spiritual words and tone, and quote Bible verses and throw in big words, that we make it so complex. I remember growing up in my former church where every Tuesday we would have Bible study, and I would do this for at least 4 years. We'll go to the pastor's house and we would study the Bible every Tuesday night. 50 weeks in a year, that was me. And I would love studying the Bible, but at the end of the night, it got really nervous. Because at the end of the night, after studying the Word of God, the pastor would usually say something like this, okay, that was a great Bible study session, let's finish off in prayer. Who would like to pray? I dread those words, who would like to pray? Like, I don't know about you guys, but I dread those words. Like, I felt so sick in my gut. My heart rate shot up. Like, my whole entire body was covered in sweat. And I just realized that the more I try to avoid making eye contact with him, the likelihood of him asking me to pray increased tenfold. And he would ask someone, and he knew that everyone in that particular group, we were all nervous. Because during the Bible study, we're all engaged with him, we're looking at him, we're making eye contact. But as soon as he said, "All right, who would like to pray?" Woo! Everyone eyes away. And he was so nasty, because he would drag that moment long to build the suspense. Who would like to pray? And he would scan around the circle, and he made sure that if you looked at him, if you had a cross-eye issue, you're in trouble. Big time. And they would ask you to pray. And the reason why I struggled is because, and I felt that my prayer wasn't good enough. Have you ever felt that before? That, you know, someone asks you to pray in your small group or in public, you just feel that, you know what, my prayer's not holy enough. Maybe they don't think I know God. I ain't using those holy words like thee and thou in my prayer. I'm not quoting Bible verses because I don't know any. I'm not using a word like propitiation and sanctification, all those big words. And that's the reason why we struggle to pray. Can I say this, that when you start using big words, quote the Bible in your prayer to impress people, it ain't impressing God. God is not impressed when we use big words. It's not like God is up there going, "Oh, wow, look at that prayer group. They're using words like transubstantiation and justification. Wow, cool, Eucharist and all those big words. Gnosko, you know?" I'm like, God's not like, "Wow, no." It's not like that. He just wants us to talk to him. You know, Matthew 6. And Jesus says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues," that's like the church gathering, "and on the street corners to be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Just talk to God. Just talk to God the way you would talk to your Father. If you're happy, tell him you're happy. If you're mad, tell him you're mad. If you're upset, tell him you're upset. It's okay. Just talk to God. He wants to hear from you. You've heard from him through the Bible. Now he wants to hear from you. So just talk to him. Don't worry about what other people think about your prayers. But if you come to God like your Father, wow, that's when he delights. Listen carefully. Don't make prayer a duty. Don't make it a duty. Don't go, "I've got to wake up at 4 a.m. and pray because 4 a.m. is the holy prayer hour." Don't. If you want to do it, go for it. There's nothing wrong with it, but don't force yourself. It's not a duty. If you want to do it at 4 a.m., you can do it. But you're not more spiritual than someone else. Stop thinking that I am spiritual and I have this wonderful prayer channel with God and God hears my prayers and not your prayers. Stop it. We're all the same. One Father in heaven. We can all pray to Him. We've got to start praying. But don't make it a duty. Don't go, "I've got to do this. I've got to do that." There's a very good chance you're not going to do it. Make it natural. Make it free-flowing. Just talk to him. You can pray to him whilst you're driving. You know what? You can even open your eyes when you're praying. Do you know that? Come on, that's revelation. If I was in a Pentecostal church, man, they're throwing Bibles everywhere right now. You can even open your eyes when you're praying. Sometimes when I pray, I open my eyes because I'm driving the car. Right? Praise the Lord. Just pray to God. As the Spirit prompts you, just pray. Just pray. You might be on a WhatsApp group. In fact, if you're a Sun Lifer, you probably are on a WhatsApp group. And you receive a prayer request, pray. You get a notification on the prayer wall in the app, pray. You know what? You just thinking of someone and God prompts you to pray for them, just pray. Just make it spontaneous. Make it dynamic. Make it natural. Don't force yourself because it's not going to happen. Smith Wigglesworth once says this, never pray more than 20 minutes. But never go more than 20 minutes without praying. You know what he's saying is this, is that make sure your prayer is ongoing. Make sure your prayer is a conversation with God that happens throughout the day, throughout the week, for the rest of your days. It's this wonderful, natural conversation with God. For some of us, we need to find that secret spot. A spot where we can just get away because there's no distraction, there's no people around us. It may be at work, it may be at school, it may be a park. Find that secret spot and just talk to your Father. Just talk to Him. I have a friend who's a pastor who cannot pray standing still. You know, like he cannot stand still and pray. He cannot sit and pray. He has to move around. And he tells me his secret spot is actually the neighborhood that he would jog. And as he jogs every morning, he would pray for his church. He would pray for the people. That's his secret spot. We all need to find a place where we ought to go. Well, that's my secret spot. And that's where I'm going to pray. Go and find that spot. It may be somewhere in uni, it may be at home, it may be at the office. You've got to find a place where there's no distraction. Jesus would do this often. The Bible would say in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That's what we've got to do. Can I finish off by saying this?